Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
So you were able to watch the whole season.
Yeah.
And then I saw you started the second season. Obviously, we're not going to touch on that just yet. We'll that'll be a whole nother episode for that one. But
you recently finished the first season again, right?
Yeah. So I watched it originally when it aired on DC Universe way back in 2019. We're talking about the Harley Quinn cartoon. If you guys are listening into this small screen rundowns, you've probably already seen the cover and the title, but Ron and I are here. We're gonna go over the first season, and it's very poignant. Is that the right word? Poignant. Where because of the topics that have been coming out recently about the Harley Quinn show, and we'll get into that here as we progress. But yeah, I watched it originally when it aired in 2019 on DC Universe app. And I hadn't seen the first season since. Like, it was one of those things where I loved it from the get-go. And then I just rewatched the whole season yesterday. It's still great.
Oh, it's, so good. It's hilarious. I watched it with the boys last couple weekends. And it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah. Obviously, we know the show is about focuses on Harley Quinn and her breakup. No, her separation. There we go. No, not separation is right. It, her emancipation. She left. She left Joker. She finally, after finally getting fed up with Joker, just not really taking or caring and even showing any affection toward her. She's like, nope, done. Finally, bye. See ya.
Sorta.
Yeah. There's a couple points, but let's go into the cast first. So a lot of people know that Kaylee Cuoco is the voice of Harley Quinn. She's best known for Big Bang Theory, being Penny on there. I first saw her in, the last season of Charmed, way back in like mid 2000s. That's when I first knew about her. Yeah, she's awesome. Although I'm pretty sure, not saying that Big Bang Theory was, popular. I mean, it had like 10 seasons, but I don't know. I never liked Big Bang Theory.
I thought it was funny.
I tried, man. I tried watching that first season.
Well, it sticks to the trope, you know, like the characters had very little to no development.
Yeah.
And they played off the same jokes
for 10 seasons? A lot.
I don't know. I guess I've only ever watched the first three seasons, so I don't know anything past that. But
like I said, I tried to watch. I think I bought the first season on DVD. It was like $5 at Walmart one time. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I watched like three episodes. I'm like, I can't. This is dumb. This is so stupid. I don't know why people like it. So that's me. We've got Lake Bell, who does the voice of Poison Ivy. Let's see. She is most known for. Yes. Oh, she was in Spider-Man? Oh, hey. She was Vanessa Fisk in the Into the Spider-Verse. Didn't know that.
Interesting.
Yeah. She looks like she does a ton of voice work, which is awesome. Yeah, I can't think of any. I can't really see. I guess she was in New Girl for an episode. I don't know. I can't see if any live action things with her in, but I know the name. Like Lake Bell is a name that I've seen pop up on many different animated projects. So we've we've got Alan Tudyk as Clayface and also the Joker. He also does Calendar Man, and I'm just going to stick to what he does here in season one because he does some more voices in season two. We've got Ron Funches as King Shark. I fucking love King Shark. The one episode when they are breaking into, I'm pretty sure they're breaking into Wayne Tech. Was it Wayne Tech? I think so. And like King Shark is like walking in, like he's sneaking in past the guard and goes into the one room and does something. He like says something over the comms and then he just immediately bites off the head of the guard and then sits down, starts typing stuff out. That was great. And I mean, Ron, everybody knows Alan Tudyk. I wasn't going to really touch on him, but everybody knows Alan Tudyk. Ron Funches, I love Ron. He is so great. There was a show on NBC with him and Alan Tudyk. It was called, it was a show about, it was this company that was there, sort of like the, not the Wrecking Crew. What's the Marvel thing where this group picks up all the superheroes' messes? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think what the hell it's called, though.
But it's sort of like that, but it was for DC, and I can't... Oh, here we go. It was called Powerless. And it basically is this group run by Bruce Wayne's... It's a Wayne Enterprise, like, subsidiary. And it's run by Bruce Wayne's cousin, who's played by Alan Tudyk. And then Ron Funches is in there as well. And he's like just a fun guy. But the whole point is they are trying to think of new devices and new things to keep people surviving, like keep ordinary citizens alive. And also they will clean up a lot of messes from the superhero that superheroes leave. Over. It was a great, I loved it. It only got like two seasons, maybe, but that was a fun show. Tony Hale does the voice of Dr. Psycho. And I think he was one of the guys from Community. He's one of those guys that if you see him, you recognize him.
What does he look like?
He's in Arrested Development. Sorry. Oh, yeah, you can see me, but I can't see you. Hold on. That's Tony Hale.
I don't know.
I recognize him. Like, I know him. I've seen him in things. He's another one that does a lot of voice work. We've got Matt Oberg as Kite Man and Killer Croc. Oh, also a Bane goon. Apparently I have to say that. Oh, he also did KG Beast. KG Beast. That was fun. Jason Alexander is Cy Borgman, which totally makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you could hear that as soon as he opened his mouth.
Exactly. Diedrich Bader as Batman, of course. Christopher Maloney is Commissioner Gordon. I want to say he is... I'm pretty sure he's Jack. Is he Jack? I don't think he's Jack. Oh, he's Law and Order. That's where he is. I recognized him. He was also in Man of Steel. He was the first.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah. He was one of the generals or one of the army men. He sacrificed himself there at the end of Man of Steel. He's playing Commissioner Gordon. J.B. Smoove is Frank the Plant. Fucking love Frank. You know who J.B. Smoove is?
I don't know. Show me a picture. I'll tell you.
So he is the other teacher in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, he is.
He's a black teacher. He's awesome. I love him. Love that one. Jim Rash is the Riddler. And he's definitely a Community guy. I think that I might have been confusing Tony Hale with him.
Yeah, that's the Dean on Community.
Yeah, I never watched Community, so.
It was pretty funny.
I've heard. James Adomain, I think is how you say his name. He does the voice of Bane. And Bane is
Bane now.
Bane is awesome. Bane is fucking awesome.
Andrew, probably my top three favorite characters in the show.
Oh, he's definitely he's up there in my top. Probably, yeah, I agree, top three. I will tell you, and because you just started season two, he gets better in season two. It's great. let's see. Andrew Daly is Two-Face, which I know he pops up late more in the next season, but he's only in like one season, a couple episodes here.
Uh-huh.
So. Let's see. Vanessa Marshall is Wonder Woman. People will know her name from she was Hera in Star Wars Rebels. Let's see. Tisha Campbell is doing the voice of Tawny, the talk show host. The one episode where Robin's on there saying, "Oh yeah, Harley's my
nemesis." Oh, that was horrible.
And Harley shows up, and then Batman shows up, and then Ivy shows up, and like, that was great. Phil Lamar is Black Manta. He's also a bunch of other voices, but they haven't shown up yet, so I can't say anything about them. but Phil Lamar, you know, everybody knows Phil Lamar. He does a shit ton of voices. Samurai Jack, Hermes from Futurama. Like, yeah. Raul Coley. I swear I can never remember how to say his name. He does the voice of Scarecrow, which is awesome. iZombie. The coroner in iZombie.
Yep.
Bunch of other things. He was also in the new House on Haunting, whatever. Let's see. Giancarlo Esposito is Lex Luthor. Perfect fit. Don't have to show you his face because everybody knows him. You know him? You know who he is?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
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 Breaking Bad, Mandalorian. Yep. All this stuff. Let's see. James Wolk, W-O-L-K, as Wolk, as Superman. Let's see. He was in Mad Men. Oh, he was in Watchmen. I need to watch it still.
You've never seen Watchmen?
I still haven't watched it.
You've never watched The Watchmen?
Nope.
Well, I guess we don't know the answer to who doesn't watch The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting there.
See, so, they moved it out since, like, what, 2002 or some shit?
Oh, no, I've seen the movie. It's the TV show on HBO.
Oh, I didn't know they had a TV show.
Yeah. Now, who's not watching Watchmen now, huh?
Me.
Mm-hmm. Same. Me, too. Yeah, it's on the HBO Max, so you can watch it whenever.
Interesting.
Let's see. Wanda Sykes, obviously, with Queen of Fables.
Yeah. Yep, that one was... Without, yeah.
Definitely tell that one. Wayne Knight is the Penguin, which is awesome. Will Sasso is Maxi Zeus. And he was fucking great.
Oh, Jesus. That, yeah.
Yep. Let's see here. Going down the very long list. Frankie Muniz is Frankie Muniz in that one episode.
And when they're inside Harley's head.
Yep. Yep, that was actually Frankie. And also, it was actually Howie Mandel playing himself in the episode that he gets blown up. So that was fun.
That was hilarious.
This show, it is like the cast is stellar. The show is just so caring.
It is exactly. It is just like, you know, this is what we want to do. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks, and that's what's going to happen.
Well, you would think that until the recent announcement, and this is a perfect segue into it.
Are you talking about Batman not going down?
Yep. So let me go ahead and read the whole article. This was an article from Variety, and one of the reasons we had planned to do this show before all this stuff came out. Like this was on the docket. It falls into our criteria for a small screen rundown.
It's
less than 16 episodes. And then being, you know, 22 minutes a piece, like it's perfect for what we were doing, covering the show. So
plus, I just finished watching it, so it worked out really well.
That definitely worked out better. It just so happened that when we were planning to do this, we get this Variety article, and it talks about some things that were not going to be able to happen in season three. So it's talking to Justin Halperin and Patrick Schumacher. Mm. And they are the showrunners. Two of the co-creators and executive producers of HBO Max adult animation, basically of the show. And so here's the quote in completion. It's completely gratifying and free to be using characters that are considered villains because you just have so much more leeway. A perfect example of that is in the third season of Harley, when we had a moment where Batman was going down on Catwoman. And DC was like, you can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. They're like, heroes don't do that. So we said, are you saying heroes are just selfish lovers? And they were like, no, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going down on someone.
See, I disagree with that.
I mean, so does half or almost all the internet.
That's just, you know, I mean, part of being a hero, right?
You would think. Apparently, according to DC, no.
Yeah, well, I know DC doesn't have their shit together. I mean,
well, they haven't for a while.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they need to go down more.
Yeah, probably. I know it's been a talk for the last week, and I'm literally saying things that everybody else has said, but fucking DC, you're fucking idiots. Like, what the fuck are you doing? This is a show that is TVMA. It's mature audience. No child will be buying the toys anyway. The parents will be buying toys. And then it's kind of on the parents if they are not realizing what they're buying for their kids, you know?
Exactly. But more importantly, I mean, it would have been in one episode of the show.
So rewatching this first season, there's one episode where Poison Ivy's talking and they're talking about how I think Harley says something about being too hairy. And Poison Ivy was like, oh, according to Catwoman, Batman has no hair at all anywhere on his body. What's the implication there? We have an episode where Maxi Zeus has his dick legs spread open and the dick everywhere. I mean, it's blurred out, but.
Well, yeah.
Like, and he's got a statue with his dick just right there. Like,
and he's like, you know, when Harley gets there, he's like, oh, you know, he thought she came over to fuck.
Uh-huh. Like, there's so much adult and sexual innuendo in this show. You're not going to you're going to draw the line at them showing Batman going down on Catwoman. Like, fuck off.
And I bet you they weren't even going to actually show. It was going to be insinuated. No, they wouldn't have.
Exactly. Like, and again, the end that's been blowing up, Kevin Smith posted a couple pictures from when he was writing a green Arrow, and it has a few pictures of Ollie going down on Dinah, and it doesn't show anything. It shows her face in a very pleasurable, expression. That's all they would have done. Nope. Can't do it. Anyways, fucking morons.
They should have taken a page out of College Humor's book.
Yeah. See, maybe that's the problem because everybody still quotes that to this day.
Dude, it's because it was fucking hilarious.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is if I press this button right, it'll cause an explosion.
Yep.
I like to do the alphabet. A for Alfred.
Oh shit. I lost my train of thought. This is wonderful. So let's go on to the show itself. Like we said earlier, it starts out with Harley finally given Joker the boot. And
well,
she,
let's start that over again. It starts with Harley and Joker, and they're supposed to be having this great romantic time. And then Batman shows up, and the first thing that Joker does is sacrifices Harley so he can get away.
Like he normally does.
And then not only does he do that, but then he leaves her in Arkham for what, 6 months or something like that, or a
no,
year?
It was a full year. Like it kept jumping, like it jumped 6 months, and then it has a conversation of Harley and Ivy talking. Actually, yeah, I think that was when she was sitting there waiting at like the phone, like having the phone call visit, whatever.
Yeah.
And then waiting. Yeah. And then she like basically takes down Croc. That was kind of fun. And then it shows like it jumps 3 months, and I think she's still having a conversation with Harley, or I'm sorry, with Ivy, as she's trying to be sedated but isn't working, and she's taking out the guards, which is fun. And then it like jumps 3 more months, so it's a year total, and then Ivy is breaking out of Arkham and, you know, takes Harley with her.
Well, at first Harley was like, no, I gotta stay because Joker's mm-hmm. gonna come break me out, and Ivy's like, man, he's left you in here for a year. Obviously, he doesn't give a shit. And then she reluctantly goes with her.
Yeah. But so that basically kicks off the show.
I mean, all joking aside, it actually does cover a pretty important thing that, you know, people should realize is that, you know, people of abuse of relationships tend to stay in those relationships because they think that it's not as bad as it is. They don't see what's going on. Mm-hmm. The red flags might as well be, you know, waving behind them because they don't catch any of it.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, exactly.
And that's an underpinning notion throughout the whole first season.
Well, and not only that, it shows that this woman can actually stand up for herself. And it's very empowering because you don't need this abusive relationship to succeed and to do what you want to do. You really just need the support of great friends. And that's what Harley gets in this whole first season. With the exception of a couple, she has the hiccups because once she gets what she wants, she realizes that what she wants has changed over time to what she had. With her friends and the basically where they were, their status was, because you know after all this she goes and tries to get herself a crew because she wants to join the Legion of Doom, but she needs to be able to pull off a caper big enough for the Legion to notice her, but she needs a crew, and so that goes down the rabbit hole of getting Dr. Psycho and getting Clayface.
Dr. Psycho calling Wonder Woman a cunt. That was like the whole fucking world just stops.
Like I love, you know, the dog stops peeing as it's trying to pee on the fire hydrant. Yeah. The birds just stop, and then yeah, the world stops spinning. It's just like, oh, that's not good. And then
I also love that what the hell is the big giantess?
Yeah.
Is this white? Yeah. Giganta. There you go. Yeah, I couldn't remember her name. But friggin' hilarious.
Well, then they're at the end of the season when Ivy injects herself with all that plant growth and becomes like 50 foot tall. And Psycho's just like, hey, I got $30 if you put me in your pocket right now. And
yeah.
It was like, what? I have a type. Sue me. You knew this. Like, hey, but you know what? He's a man who knows what he wants. Not gonna kink shame him. But yeah, so the moral of the whole thing is as soon as she gets her crew, that I said moral, whatever, as soon as she gets her crew, things start falling into place of just her having a good time. And then like she gets to the point where, all right, well, let's see what, the world is saying about our heist. And it
I love it when they break into the Legion of Doom, like the RSVP party, you know, like for the Legion of Doom. And they break in there and it's the fucking bar mitzvah for like the Penguin's nephew or some
yep,
shit.
Yep. That one was great. And then I also loved how like it was Joshua, who was Penguin's nephew. His mom is like goes and talks to Ivy and Harley and is like, like, you know, ladies, thank you for coming, but could you please like tone down like the cussing? Because it's a It's a bar mitzvah.
Yes, of course.
Sorry, Mrs. Cobblepot. We apologize. Great party. Like, being all like, great. And then, like, at the very end when they're leaving, she's like, oh, make sure you guys get your takeout bags or whatever, party bags or whatever.
Yeah. And,
Thank you, Mrs. Cobblepot. This really appreciate it. Like, it was, it's just so like, it swings from one point to the other so quickly, and it works. Like, it's just, it's perfect. It's hitting on all cylinders. This show is
Things, let's talk about how graphic some of the gore is in this.
Oh god. Okay, go ahead.
It's fucking hilarious. Like, when you know, like, you can see fucking teeth flying out of their mouths. It's not as graphically gory as like Invincible was.
No,
but it's hilariously gory.
Well, okay, so like the time when she literally just knocks, well, we talked about earlier with King Shark just biting the head off a guy and the blood kind of spurting out.
And like it does a fountain of blood, like as the body falls over. And
And then there was the toward the end of the season when Harley just knocks off the head of Queen of Fables.
Yeah.
Bats it off of the bat, like, okay. Didn't see that coming. I think when she was beating up Joker's crew, she's snapping bones and they're popping out of the skin.
Like, yeah.
It's definitely very graphic.
Which
is you're right. It's not as bad as Invincible, but well, actually, you know what? I think there are definitely some scenes that are the same as Invincible, but the difference is this is coming at it from a comedic aspect. Like you already know you're in for a comedy, and seeing Harley break a guy's, you know, forearm and have the bone pop through is like, and you're laughing, you're having fun. Versus Invincible, when Omni-Man punches his arm through somebody's gut, you're like, oh no, I didn't want to see that.
Rips
like
half of the other arm and oh.
Yeah, like it's the same level of violence. Yeah. Maybe Invincible is definitely a little bit, just a tick higher, but it's told two different like aspects. It's on two sides of the spectrum, of the same spectrum.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, so King Shark, I've mentioned that scene twice where he bites the guy's head off and there's all that blood. He said earlier on that he doesn't do well with blood, but he did fine there.
Yeah, well, maybe that was because he was eating instead of just smelling the blood.
Possible, but also he's in the water as a shark, and the minute the blood gets in there, he goes all crazy trying to get Robin. That was good.
Maybe just because it was Robin, and he was fucking annoying.
Yeah, because it's Damian Robin, and Damian is definitely
That's Batman Catwoman's kid, right?
Batman and Talia al Ghul's kid.
Ah, my bad.
Batman and Catwoman's kid is Huntress.
Oh, that's right.
Different universe. Yeah, thanks. Yep. Whatever. Is there like any scene that really stuck out to you? Any episode like that was your favorite episode?
So
it was a bunch of scenes that stuck out, but
when Ivy is sneaking around with Kite Man.
Oh, Kite Man.
So first off, is Kite Man a real villain?
Yes. He is. Let's see here. I will double check when he came out, but he kind of gained popularity again in 2018, 2019. Oh yeah, so his first appearance is Batman 133 in August of 1960.
Oh, that makes sense.
Bill Finger wrote him, created him. Nice. He became more relevant in the Tom King run of Batman. And this is definitely pulling from that because Tom King, I'm not going to say King was forcing Kite Man down everybody's throats, although he kind of was. But like he redid his origin, I don't know what his original origin was, but in this new modern
bat of kites,
maybe no. In this modern version, he was I think he was trying to, he was like having a like father son moment with his son, like trying to teach him how to fly a kite, or maybe it was his daughter, his child. And if I remember correctly, they got diagnosed with cancer and he was still trying to have those parenting moments. And it was either they either died from the cancer or the cancer went into remission. And then his family got killed by a rogue gang war, very Punisher like. People are gonna be yelling at me. I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've read the Tom King run. I only read it the one time. I got it up here somewhere, but that's not the point. but yeah, basically he took the kite as a remembrance of his child, his kid, and made it into a gimmick. And he has some good moments in the comics, but nothing to be like, all right, cool, Kite Man's cool now. This Kite Man, however, is pretty awesome. You know,
fucking hilarious. Like when she goes to his apartment for the first time, I took out the pin, so it's at 69.
Nice. Yeah, and that's one of those relationships that like you would see it not work. Somehow on paper this should not work. But they found a way. Like they actually had a good time and was actually
Kite Man goes down on people.
Probably more likely. Well, he is a villain, so yeah, he does go down. But like she does the whole embarrassed to be seen with him because he's a D-rate villain and she's like an A-rate villain kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, when they go to the restaurant and she is all dressed up, long trench coat, sunglasses,
scarf, hat.
Yep. Everything is like, she's trying to hide herself and Kite Man's just having a good time. I do like how he's like, yeah, so I had a reservation for Kite Man and, you know, might be saying all this stuff. And it's like, oh, it'll be like a 40-minute wait. And then they're sitting there. It's like, it's been like 40
and well, and he's like, what's minutes? The point of making a reservation if you still have to wait? I thought the whole point of a reservation was so that you could go in and get your seat. And who walks in? I can't remember which villain Riddler. It is.
Riddler oh, that's right. In.
And they're just like, and he's like, I don't have a reservation, but and they're like, oh no, we've got a seat for you ready and let's go.
Yeah, it's fucking wonderful. And there's no like one thing in this, especially the first season, and I'll definitely say more so in the second, that I could just pick out and say, oh, this is like the best part of the show. Bane's
amazing.
Like, but what I'm saying is there's nothing that says every single episode is great. Every single episode has a moment that is just like, oh, okay, I'm on board. There's not, you know how like you were on the episode of when Tony and I talked about Jupiter's Legacy, but like the whole show, they had a few moments here or there, but then like episode 7 of the series was just, it was awesome. Like that was my favorite episode of the entire 8-episode series. There's no show and no episode in here in particular that was like, oh, this episode's better than the other. They all were great. They all flowed together. And they still told the story, the overarching story of Harley trying to be her own self.
Yeah. And we even find out, you know, through the telling of this, that Joker didn't push her into the vat of chemicals. She jumped mm-hmm. herself. Yep. She just had it in her mind that he had pushed her in because she didn't want to be the one that, you know, did it to herself. But correct. No, I really want to talk about Bane.
Well,
and okay. How yeah. the rest yeah. of the Legion of Doom like basically shits on him.
Treats him like shit. Yep.
Yeah. But he's like, he's fucking hilarious. And then once Harley actually gets to be part of the Legion, he borrows her crew to go do a hit. and he's so the whole thing is he's going to this this coffee shop. And the kid at the coffee shop keeps writing "bang" on his cup, and
you know so he's like, you know my name is Bane. I can't.
And so he's like, you know, they go through. And he's like, okay, I'm taking the crew. And they're like, wait, no, we're Harley's crew. And he's like, oh no. He's like, you're everybody's crew now. And he's like, you're coming with me.
Oh, wait, don't forget. It's like I signed all the proper paperwork. I talked to the car.
Yeah,
you guys are my crew for today.
And then he's like, so he gets there and he's waiting for King Shark to like plant this bomb so he can blow it up. And he's like, let's see whose name is Bang now. And he blows up, but King Shark's not out yet.
No.
And like,
blows his fin.
Yeah, it's freaking hilarious. And then the part where they make the Injustice League, and he's like, why do I have a folding chair? Everybody else, you couldn't take out the time to find one more throne. I have to sit in this folding chair.
I feel so bad that they treat Bane like they do. And Bane, man, I love Bane.
Find out later on, because Harley goes, so Harley is trying to basically find her way in the Legion. Mm-hmm. And the Joker's like, oh yeah, no, I'll show you, blah, 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 blah. And you find out that the Joker's the one that's been paying this kid to write Bang on Bane's cuff the whole time.
Fucking great. Then to top it all off, Todd, who was the guy that Bane is trying to kill, wasn't even working that day. Yeah, he wasn't working that day. Oh, fucking great. Like, Bane's always, he's getting ready. He always says he's going to blow up whatever. Like, he goes to the bar for a trivia night and answers the question wrong. And he's like, well, I'm going to go blow up the stadium or whatever.
Explosions.
I don't know what explosions are, Bane, but if you're going to talk to the explosions. Man, like, and then they have the Legion of Doom basically be just like a 9-to-5. Like, they have meetings and they got to discuss where they're going to put all the money to. And
oh, geez, the Joker. I want to build a building with my face on it. And then everybody like doesn't want to back him up, but they still do anyways.
Yeah, because it's the Joker.
Yeah, and then Harley's like, no, that's stupid. Why would you do that? And then she's like, yeah, if you're going to do that kind of thing, do this and this and this. And then he actually does what she says.
Yep. It's because she actually has good ideas. It's weird. I do love after Psycho is outed, twice for saying, cunt. And then the Legion of Doom makes an announcement. It's like, look, we're evil, but we're equal opportunists or whatever they say. It's like, he's not part of Legion of Doom anymore. He has been expelled.
Yeah.
Because of this. Like,
And then when Harley gets him back into the Legion and he's like, oh, don't worry, I know the way to my office. And they're like, oh no, this is, you belong here now.
Yep. You are a sidekick. You're our goon. Ugh. So, okay. Toward the end of the season, were you surprised that they killed off Poison Ivy?
Actually, I was really shocked when it happened, but then I was like, eh, she's just going to come back anyways. It's no big deal.
Okay. Okay. I mean, yes, you're correct. But it was a very, the moment when it happened was, cause I remember watching that as it aired and I'm like, I need to watch next episode, but it was weekly at the time. So I had to wait a whole nother week, which sucked. But I mean, again, I was right there with you. I knew she was going to come back, but it was still a good, shocking moment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you knew, and that was what pushed, Harley over the edge to go kill Joker.
Yep. Yep.
Which was fantastic.
Speaking of which, talking about the last episode, you got Scarecrow talking to the Joker, and Joker right now, he's torturing Batman because he has Batman captured. And he's basically saying, there's no joy anymore. Like, I miss Harley because, well, he doesn't say he misses Harley at the moment, but Scarecrow definitely picks up on the fact that he misses Harley. And he's like, we used to do all these things and we'd do this. And then Scarecrow's just like, well, how about we just find out who Batman is? And he rips off the masks. And both Joker and Scarecrow are just surprised that it's Bruce Wayne.
And a little disappointed.
And very, yeah. Joker's just like, I could have ripped off the mask anytime I wanted, Scarecrow. Now, like, I just didn't want to. Like, that ends the joke. And then Scarecrow's just like, but I was trying to do something in the moment. I was trying to be like Harley, the one you talk about all the time and is the obsessed with. And obviously, Joker kills Scarecrow.
Yeah.
But then I love how Joker goes up to Bruce and he's like, where you promised an electric car by this by like next month or something, Bruce Wayne. Like, I put a down payment months ago. Where's my electric car, Bruce Wayne? Like, just like I said before, the going from like the vicious to just the funny so quick is great. Okay, so we brought it up earlier. Who's your top three favorite characters of the show?
Okay, so definitely Bane's up there. Clayface, because he's hilarious. Like when he's pretending to be Batman, and she's like, no, don't say anything. No, don't say. And then he starts singing
the Happy Birthday. Yep.
Yeah.
Because he can't help himself.
Uh huh. And then I'd have to say that the third top place is Poison Ivy.
Yep.
Like, because she's like the backbone of like the whole, like Harley's whole crew, even though she's not part of the crew.
she's
the one that keeps him rooted.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Bane and Ivy are
She's a redhead that,
Well, yeah, it's Poison Ivy. Bane and Ivy are in my top three. Bane, we've talked about Bane enough. And again, when you finish second season, we talk about it. Yeah, Bane is just great. The Ivy is, again, you nailed it on the head. She is literally the only thing keeping the crew together. Because even when the one moment when Ivy was in trouble, and by this point, you know, everybody, Psycho, Clayface, and King Shark quit Legion of Doom. Harley was doing whatever. And so they stopped being friends. And she goes to each one of them separately to try and win back their friendship. And then Frank the Plant is like, dude, guys, Ivy's been kidnapped. And like, oh, Ivy, let's go. Let's go get her. Let's go help her.
Yeah.
And he's just like, start with the lead. Like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to do all this crap? But Ivy is the glue for the crew. Definitely. Who'd be my third? I do love Harley. Harley's great. Honestly, probably King Shark. King Shark's probably my third for that. Ron Funches as King Shark is wonderful. He's another one that has some fun time in season two.
And he's just got such proper delivery of everything.
Yes. Like, and I keep going back to the scene where he bites the guy's head off. And it's just like he's talking normally, doing his thing, bites the head off, and sits down and starts doing his computer work. Like, it's no, he's nonplussed. Doesn't matter. He is what the scene after Bane blew off his fin and he's in the hospital. And he's morphine induced and starts like talking crazy. And then all the crew is like, all right, I'm done with Harley, and they all leave. And Shark is just like, yeah, I would get up and leave too, but I can't remember exactly what he says, but like he's talked about being morphine induced and not being able to tell his feet from his fin or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I can't do anything right now. But I'm still mad. Like, it, King Shark is awesome. I love him. Those are definitely my top three. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, you know, we never even touched the subject of Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Holy shit. That's so much to unpack. So, Gordon, wow. Talk about a breakdown.
He is so codependent on Batman. It's not funny.
Huh. And then Batman's just like, yeah, we're not really friends, Jim. We're coworkers.
When Harley pops into the cave by accident, and he says the same thing to her, and his screensaver comes up, and it's Batman and Gordon at I think the birthday party.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, my screensaver popped up, didn't it?
But yeah, that episode was where they're trying to steal stuff from Wayne Tech, and then Clayface's hand gets chopped off and becomes its own thing and becomes friends with Gordon, because Batman has told Gordon, we're not friends. We're just work companions, blah, blah, blah. And then they just have this fun little adventure, the Hand and Gordon, and it's just Gordon's so fucking dependent. Toward the end when he's like, so the GCPD has got a tank and we're going to use all these tanks. And Batman's like, no tanks, Jim. We don't,
yeah.
Don't need to do this. But a tank.
And you know, see what makes it even better though, is like, that is literal police like mentality, well, right?
Yes.
There.
But that's, yeah. It's just funny because
The fact that they actually had tanks, because you know, like, what does a police department need tanks for?
Well, it is Gotham City, so I'll give him that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
even with Batman. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Gotham City. No, you're not.
Right. I feel like that hits some that has some pretty good notes right there, even in satire.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Most of the stuff that they were talking about, it was all satire, but definitely was touching on
some serious satire,
current event stuff. So,
oh man,
yeah. Gordon, you're a couple episodes in. I don't know if you got to the part in the next season where he kind of gets a little bit of a redemption. I don't think you're there yet.
I don't think so.
Okay. What else is there to talk? I think we've hit on everything. At the moment. Obviously, when we get to season two, there's going to be a lot more.
At the end of the season, you know, by the end of the season, Harley does, you know, completely cut Joker off. She's done with him, and she blows him up.
Well, not only does he blow him up, but Ivy and her toss him in this vat of acid that is supposed to erase his memories and erase. Well, yeah, it erases him, I believe. Except for, you know, we see a hand pop up and a couple laughing and then it kind of drops down. But that's also like both Batman and Joker are in the building when it collapses.
Yeah.
So we can assume they're dead.
Except for we know the Batman's not dead because he doesn't go down.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we pretty much covered. Oh, you know, I would like to talk about, so this is something that I know that you appreciate, is the changing of costumes.
Yes, I do. Now, again, and this is one where they tend to keep the same one, but you do see them in different outfits throughout the show.
Yeah, well, Harley changes her clothes like all the time.
Yes. But like even Ivy, even King Shark has a different suit on from time to time.
But the only person who really doesn't change their outfit is Clayface. He always just looks like a big pile of mud.
Well, no, he changes his outfit all the time when he changes into characters. You know, like the Western bartender or Batman.
I love his backstories. Everything's got to have like this ridiculously convoluted backstory.
When Harley was like, all right, so you're the mailman. You're going to distract Maxie Zeus. All right, so what's the story of the mailman? Like nothing. You're delivering mail. And then he walks up and he...
Dad
starts going in that. It's like, you know, mom from the bar back when. And then when Zeus is calling him out, it's like, man, it's weird that you don't have any of your mom's traits, like her eyes. He changes his eyes. And then he starts talking about like the overbite and the hunchback and just.
And by the time they're done, he looks like this grotesquery of a.
And then the entire time, it wasn't until I can't remember what he said, where. He's like, you're not real. You're not my son. But by this point in time, you're right. He's this monster looking creature that was a normal man when he walked in. Fucking great. Clayface is pretty great.
Is the college thing in season two?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. I can't wait to hit on that one because that was fucking hilarious too.
Okay, so I think that's everything we about the season one we want to talk about. There's probably some that we missed, and maybe we'll. There's definitely some stuff I'm leaving out because they touch on it a little bit in season two. So when you get done with season two, we'll come back and we'll do this again.
Excellent, sounds great.
Yeah, you guys can Follow us on Instagram or on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown. You can email us at comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Song was done by Cam from Recommend Podcast and One Half of the Sex Turtles. You can find our shirts over on Redbubble and TeePublic. Links are in the show notes. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcast or whatever podcasting app of choice you do or you use. If you do leave a review on any other podcasting app, just go and take like a screenshot of it and send it to me, or just let me know so I can go find it. We will read those on upcoming episodes. And I think that's everything for the show. Ron, thanks for coming on here and watching this.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I loved it. It was great.
Thanks for letting
me use your HBO Max so I can watch it.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank Emily,
for a while. Yeah, I'll let her know. I've been telling you a while for it's a good show. And I mean, I can totally see them not having the scene of Batman going down, but definitely implying it in season 3. Which is coming out fairly, maybe not soon, but coming out sometime in the future. It's coming. It's a fucking great show. It better be coming again. For
although we know that Catwoman isn't.
Yeah, let's end it on that.